We'll be turning to Ephesians chapter 2 for the scripture passage this morning, and I will be reading verses 13 through 22. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
Good morning. It's good to be with everybody. So six times last year, whenever I would get up to the pulpit, I was doing part of my seminary. And you were all helping me with that, so thank you very much. And I was walking through the articles that make up the statement of faith. So last year we went through six. We started off with God, our triune God. We went to the Bible, which is our foundation, which we learn everything about God and his plan for salvation. Everything that we need to know about salvation comes from the Bible. We went into the condition, the human condition, the condition of man, where we're sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior just so happens to be the next article. So we looked at Jesus, and then we looked at his work on the cross. That was week number five. His work and his work alone is our only path to salvation. When we put our faith in Christ and the work that he did on, we repent, put our faith in Christ, and that's our only path for salvation. And then the next week six was the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and how when we put our faith in Christ, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that binds us. It reconciles. He reconciles us to God, and he unifies us as believers. I've said this before. I love our statement of faith. Our statement of faith is the gospel. And I think that if you needed a structure to present the gospel to somebody, you could definitely use our statement of faith. Just the last couple weeks alone, so you have Christ, the Savior, the work on the cross, you know, that is needed, the shed blood, and then once we repent and believe, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you could go through, if you needed a structure to present the gospel to somebody, you could use our statement of faith, absolutely. It would provide a very good structure. And we know that, you know, once you put your faith in the work of Christ, the Holy Spirit, like I said, the third person of the Trinity, indwells us. And we enter into a new life. We're born again at that point. It's when our heart is stone, becomes a heart of flesh. We're changed instantly. Pastor Jack gave a sermon 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he started the sermon by talking about how we are all immortal. We're immortal, whether, you know, it's from the time we're born, we're immortal. And when we put our faith in Christ, it's immortal for the good. It's heaven bound is where we are at that point. We become unified with Christ, and we become unified as a body. And that body has a different names. You know, we refer to it as the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. We're the family of God. We are family. There's a song in that. We're believers. we're Christians. And at that point, we're the church. We are the church. And people throughout all history who've put their faith in Christ are members of the church. And the church is a gift from God. And the church is for God. The church is made up of people saved by God. The church is for God. Just like Sunday is the Lord's Day. Bless you. Sunday is the Lord's Day. And Sunday is for God. The Lord's Day is for God. And we are to give that to Him. So let us go to the Lord in prayer now and give this day to Him. Our Father, our Lord, our Savior, our everything, we come to You right now. We thank You. We praise You. We love You. We lift up Your name. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. We just praise You for everything. And Holy Spirit, we thank You for binding us together as one church, one kingdom. We thank You for all things. I ask You to be with us this morning, be with us throughout the day. Lord, let us focus on You on this Lord's Day, the day of the empty tomb, the day that we recognize that our Savior defeated death, and He sits at the right hand with You right now. And Father, we know that when we put our faith in You, that we will be with You in heaven, with the Son, through the Holy Spirit. So we praise You and honor You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I typically do these starting with the article. I'll go through the article and then I'll do the scripture. But today I'm going to put the left foot in front of the right. And we're going to start with scripture first. And then we're going to work backwards into the article. And I'm sure everybody's thought of them to themselves at least once. What's the church? What is the church? What does that mean, the church? And the word church is ekklesia in Greek, and it simply means a gathering or an assembly. So that's what we are right now. We are a gathering or an assembly of believers. We are the church. I picked Ephesians because I love Paul. Paul's the man. And I think this scripture walks us through the church very well. Ephesians is such an important letter. Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, and it walks you through the life of a believer. It starts with how we were in our state, dead in our trespasses, and then it talks about how God saves us, but God being rich in mercy, He saves us. And then as we're saved, our lives are changed. We're born again. And the book, the letter, walks us through how we're to act with each other, how we're to be in our marriage, how to be in our families, how to be in the workplace, how to be in the world, how we're to interact. And then it ends in Ephesians 6, how we're to start our day, how we're to begin our day, and that's by putting on the full armor of God. So the book of Ephesians is incredible. It's probably the most important book in the Bible. So I would recommend that you read Ephesians every day. Every day, start your day off. Romans is pretty important too. So start off with Ephesians and then go straight into Romans. Every day, Gospels are kind of important. If you start your day with the Gospels, go into Ephesians, then Romans. You got to have Genesis, though. So do this. Genesis, then the Gospels, starting with John. Ephesians, Romans, follow up with Revelation every day. Every day, you'll be fine. Everything in life will be perfect if you just do that. In Proverbs, you got to need Proverbs. That's important. I don't think you could do that every day. Maybe Proverbs to do for the weekend, you know? But yeah, I think that would be good. Every day, do those things, and everything will be fine. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, we're going to walk through this. But now, in Christ Jesus, who you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul's talking to both Jews and Gentiles in this letter, okay? And when he refers to the you who were once far off and brought near, he's talking to the Gentiles. He's talking to Paul's very temple-minded with this letter, and especially in this section here. He's very temple-minded. So he's talking to you here, as he's referring to the Gentiles, which we all are. He's talking about those that weren't part of the original family, if you will. So he's talking about you, who were once far off, the Gentiles. That's who this letter was dedicated to, written to. However, today, there's the application piece that we are the you who were once far off, because we were once far away from the Lord. We had our mind set on other things until our heart was changed, and then we're not far off. We're not far off at all. So there's an application. And it says, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, just trust me on this, because I can't pronounce it. But the Greek in that brought near, it's neat, because what that means is you were gathered together, so it's an assembly, and then you're squeezed. You're brought near, so you're gathered and you're squeezed. And when I first thought about that, I thought of my uncle. And like when I was a little kid and we're all running around, you're running around like crazy, my uncle would just like scoop you up and hold you in, and he'd be like, oh, nom, 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 nom. You know, like an adult will eat a child. Well, that's what that reminded me of, that gathered, squeezed. And then I thought about how Jesus was talking about a mother hen, how I'd love to gather you. And so it's not just, we just weren't brought near. We were gathered and then squeezed. That's what that means. There's meaning behind that. We're brought near by the blood of Christ. And that's the whole reason we're here. We're here because of Jesus and his work in this shed blood. Verse 14, for he himself, meaning Jesus, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So that peace is the peace from God, the wrath of God. And that's the wrath that we deserve as sinners. Everybody deserves the wrath of God. We're sinners in need of a Savior. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we need peace. And Christ provides that peace. And in the us, in this one, who has made us both one. He's talking both Jew and Gentile. Made us one, Jew and Gentile. And he's talking about the dividing wall of hostility. Again, Paul, very temple-minded. In the temple, there was a room called the Holy of Holies. And it was a room where where God dwelt, where the Spirit of God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, and only one time a year the head priest could go in that room. But that room had a huge veil, a giant veil that divided the outside to the inside. And that veil was about 3 stories high. It was about 3 feet thick. And it was the dividing wall between man and God. And when Christ gave up his spirit on the cross, a lot of miraculous things happened at that moment. And one of the miraculous things was that veil was torn top to bottom by no human hands. So that dividing wall is no longer there. We now have access to God. We have access through the blood of Christ. We have access to our Father. And as we continue reading in verse 15, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace. So the abolishing of the law, that's not saying that Christ destroyed the law at all. It's not saying that. What it's saying is that Jesus in himself performed everything that is needed to be required of us to be reconciled to God. Jesus did that. He wasn't destroying it. He was fulfilling it. He was doing everything that's required of us. He fulfilled it so that we can be reconciled to God. And this is Romans 11 also. So you have the tree. So if you want to call it the tree of life, you want to call it the tree of Christ, the tree of faith, but you have a tree where you have the Jewish people were part of that tree in the beginning. And then, due to the work of Christ, some Jewish people kept their faith, that had faith in the beginning in a Messiah. They put their faith in Christ. They stayed in the tree. those that did not have faith in the Messiah, did not put their faith in Christ, they were the unbelieving Jews. Those branches were broken off. And with those branches being broken off, wild shoots were grafted in. And that's us. That's the unifying of one. That's Jew-Gentile coming together. That's the unification. That's what was we couldn't do. He made one new man in place of two to seek peace. And as we continue in verse 16, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing his hostility. Reconcile. That word reconcile means to change mutually. To change mutually, meaning the Jew and Gentile were changed mutually at the same time. Two changed mutually. They become one. One in that tree. And the hostility, the Jews did not like the Gentiles. Think about like the Samaritans. Like the Jews did not like Gentiles. They were the Jews considered Gentiles unclean. They were unclean people. They touched unclean things. They did not perform any type of ritual to clean themselves. They did not follow the commandments. They did not follow God's laws. So the Jews and the Gentiles, there is friction. There was always friction there. But we've been reconciled together, changed mutually at the same time in one body through the cross. Thereby, that hostility is gone. The hostility between us is gone. We are one. We are a church. We are one. And we're united by blood. That's Galatians 3:23. There's no Jew or Gentile. We're brothers and sisters united by blood. We're people. My clan. If you look at me, you'll see an Irishman in front of you. And the Irishman in front of you, we're Irish because we have that island across the way that we oversee. And you look at me, you say, look at that wee man up there. He's definitely Irish. He should be leading the halftime festivities at the Notre Dame game. Or maybe you should be trying to shake him down for his pot of gold or his lucky charms. But he's definitely Irish. You see that from him. And I'm a proud Irishman. I am proud. We love hard. We fight hard. We're Irish. Half hard. And you look at me and you say, oh, he's Irish. And I'm proud. And you should be proud where you come from too. You should. However, when I got shed from the old blood and now I have the new blood, I'm a new man. And I'm proud of where I came from. I am proud to be Irish. And you should be proud from where you came from. However, I'm more fulfilled in who I belong to today and where I am going to tomorrow than where I came from. Definitely. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. He preached peace to those who were far off, the Gentile. Again, think temple. And preached peace to those who were near, the Jew. It was the same message that he preached to both. So the same message is required from everybody. Repent and believe. It's the same message regardless of being Jew, Gentile, Irish, Italian, Polish, whatever. It does not matter. It's the same message. Verse 18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. That is the truth. We have access to the Father because of that same message of peace. And that message of peace is repent and believe. Verse 19, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. This is the 1979 Pittsburgh Pirates verse right here. This is we are family. This is we are the household of God. We are family. We have all our brothers and sisters and me. It's family. Followed up by Cool and the Gang Celebration, the first song at the wedding feast, right? Like we are family. And that's with no longer strangers and aliens, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. So this is Paul saying, look, the message that you received, the foundation of that message, it's based both the apostles and the prophets, Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament points to the Messiah, points to Christ. The whole Old Testament points to Christ. Paul's saying, and then the new, all of these letters that I'm writing to you, the letters that John's writing to you, all those point to Christ too. Christ is the cornerstone. Everything leads directly to Christ. Christ alone is the cornerstone. It all points directly to him. Verse 21, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So there you have the whole structure. He's again temple minded. We think that the building of the church, it's a structure. However, spiritually, Christ is our cornerstone. The church is together, built together by Christ, for Christ. The whole structure, and if you'll notice in verse 21, it says, being joined together, comma, grows into a holy temple. It doesn't say grew. It says grows, with the implication that it's never going to stop growing. The church will always grow. There's going to be times when it looks sad, it looks bleak, but know that the church of God will always grow. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We are a church. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies with a 3-foot veil. Man, nowhere near that. Christ comes to earth. The Word became flesh. God walked the earth. He tabernacled among us. He was with us. He walked with us. Jesus referred to himself as the temple. And he told them, he said, tear down this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they said, that's crazy. It took over 40 years to build this temple. Jesus wasn't talking about the building. He was talking about himself. He is the temple. And then Paul goes on in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3:16, where he tells us that we are now the temple because the Spirit of God lives inside us. So we are now the temple of God. We are the church. We are the church. CJ handed this to me. I wanted to throw it back to him. This is like an Achilles heel. See, okay, it worked. All right, so our statement of faith. We walk through the scripture, our statement of faith. We believe that the true church comprises all who have been justified by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone. They are united by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, of which he is the head. Whoa, see it? Okay. The true church is manifested in local churches whose membership should be composed only of believers. The Lord Jesus mandated 2 ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which visibly and tangibly express the gospel. Though they are not means of salvation, we celebrate, when celebrated by the church in genuine faith, these ordinances confirm or nourish the believer. Okay, we believe that the church, the true church, comprises all who have been justified by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone. I've said that multiple times already today. The church is made up of sinners, obviously, who by God's standards, and God's standards are holy and just, they deserve his wrath. And that's what we deserve. But God, being rich in mercy, bestows his grace on the sinner who repents and puts their faith in Christ alone. We know that there's no work that we can do. All the work comes from the work on the cross. I can't open enough doors for people. I can't be nice to anybody enough. It's the work of Christ in Christ alone. They are united by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, which he is the head. The moment that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and we respond to the call of the gospel, the Holy Spirit lives inside us and we become the temple. And we're bound to each other. We're united to each other. We are one body in Christ. And that makes Christ the Lord. He's the Lord. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. Jesus is sitting right now at the right hand of the Father, reigning and ruling. He's in charge of all things. Nothing happens in the world without Christ's approval, without God's approval. It doesn't happen. That is where he is right now. He is the head of our church. He is the head of our lives. He is our Lord, and he is our Savior. The true church is manifest in local churches whose membership should be composed only of believers. So Water Dam Church is a local church that's associated with the Evangelical Free Church of America. Okay, there are, I know this, but I can't remember. I think there's 5,000 e-free churches. I remember that off the top of my head. I can't remember. But anyways, Water Dam is one of many Bible-believing, Christ-centered churches in Washington County, in Western Pennsylvania, in America, in the world. And we meet people at conferences. We go to conferences. We go to Beggs Church, and there's people from all over the world that come to that conference. And they are Bible-believing Christians. They are people that have put their faith in Christ alone. And we go to different churches, and we might do church a little differently, but we believe in the saving grace of Christ, in Christ alone. We believe that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, and that his saving work on the cross is the only way to salvation. That's what we believe. So we're united. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Membership should be composed only of the believers. Okay, so here's my commercial here. I'm going to be having a Welcome to Water Dam class on March 3rd. I believe it's going to be at the 9 o'clock hour. If you would like to learn more about Water Dam Church, like to learn about membership, like to learn about the E-Free Church, I welcome you. I invite you to attend that. It'll be 5 to 6 weeks, depending on the size of the class. We have some great conversations. Some of the really cool questions get asked about the church. So I welcome you to join that. Okay. Ordinances. The Lord Jesus mandated two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which visibly and tangibly express the gospel. Though they are not means of salvation, when celebrated by the church in genuine faith, these ordinances confirm or nourish the believer. These are mandates by Jesus himself. There's certain things that Jesus tells us to do. He told us to go spread the gospel. Share the gospel to the nations. We're commanded to do that. We're also commanded to be baptized. We're commanded to when we meet, have the Lord's Supper. It's visible. It's tangible. It's the expression of the gospel that's visible and tangible. Because we're being obedient. We're being obedient to the Lord. It's visible because you see somebody get into the water. You see them get into the water. We see each other when we pass the cup. We see that. And it's tangible. You can feel it. There's an expression. We ask you to give your testimony before you get into the water. And you hear that. You hear how Christ has changed the lives of the people that are baptized. So it's tangible. You see it. It's an expression of the gospel. And when we have the Lord's Supper, which is what we're going to partake in a little bit, it's tangible. It's visible, and it's the tangible way of recognizing the sacrifice that Christ made for us at the cross, the walk that he walked that week is a walk that nobody in this room would do. And he did that for us. And that's the gospel. And they're not means of salvation. They're definitely not means of salvation. The means of salvation is this. It's you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you need to repent of your sins. I'm the same. I'm no different. We repent of our sins, and we put our faith in Christ alone, the work that he did on the cross. We realize, we put our faith in the fact that he rose from the dead on the third day. And in doing so, that gives us the blessed hope that when we pass, when we close our eyes on this side, when we open them up on the other side, our Lord and Savior is standing there waiting for us with open arms, big smile on his face saying, welcome home, my son, welcome home, my daughter. Like that's what it's about. These are to strengthen us. These are ordinances that strengthen us. And how do they strengthen us? They strengthen us as believers. We sing songs this morning of adoration, of worship to God. We did that this morning, and that strengthens us as believers. We give it all to him, but it strengthens us as believers. We pray. That strengthens our faith. When we pray to God, it is strengthening in us. When we're fellowship together, when we're spending time with each other, it's strengthening us. It's nourishing us. It's not salvation. Salvation is only through Christ. These are things that we are called to do because they confirm, because they nourish us spiritually. In baptism, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they were confused. They said, what do we do? Peter said, repent, baptized. That's all he said. That's what we're called to do. We are called to be baptized. When Philip was with the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip explained the word of God to the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, I don't know what to do. He's like, well, we're going to get baptized. There's water right here. Baptized. We're called baptized. And when it comes to baptism, it's a response. And it's a response, and we identify with the life, death, and the resurrection of Christ. And when you get baptized, Pastor Jack asks you a few questions. Do you recognize God as Father? He says, do you recognize Jesus as Savior? Do you recognize the Holy Spirit as the Comforter? So you're acknowledging these things. There's a response. And it's the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, what we believe happens. Some forms of faith believe that it will call them elements, that the bread and the cup physically become the body and blood of Jesus. We do not believe that. We believe that. Let us do this in remembrance of, do this in the memory of what he has done. So we know that God is in this room. We know that the Holy Spirit is in this room the whole time. So he is present. And when we take the cup and we take the bread, we're doing two things. We are thinking again about what he has done for us, what he gave up. He left heaven. He left perfection to walk the earth. We're talking about it when he was born. He was born in a manger. Some of us won't even set foot in a manger, you know? We won't. If I see something dirty on the ground, I'm walking around it. You know, I'm not touching anything. He left perfection and let himself be born in that. And then he did that. That he did his last year or the last week of his life was amazing. So we are to reflect on that. At the same time, we're to reflect on where are we with that? Where am I with what he has done with me? What we're to do. So it's a reflection of that. It's a reflection of our faith. The last thing with communion is it's a reflection of heaven. It's what heaven's going to be like. You know, we talked about how when we die and we close our eyes on this side, we open them and we are in the presence of God. We are in the presence of Jesus standing, waiting for us, grabs you, holds you, clings you, squeezes you, eats you up. And that's what heaven's going to be. And when it's all wrapped up, we're all together and we're all having communion together. It's supposed to be Jew, Gentile, male, female, free, slave, you name it, everything together the way it's supposed to be. That's what he wanted. And that's what communion is about. And we take communion this morning. Do that. Reflect on that. Reflect on what he's done for you. Reflect on that. And we believe in believer's baptism, so only believers are to be baptized. Same thing with communion. We believe in a believer's communion. If you haven't put your faith in Christ, let it pass. It's okay. No one's going to look at you. No one's going to think anything. I'd have more respect for you if you let it pass than if you didn't. So let it pass. However, there's always room at the table. And when we're praying and there's a time, there's nothing wrong with repenting and putting your faith in Christ at that moment. And if you've done that, let me know, because I'd like to walk with you. But that's what we're going to do. So, it's a taste of heaven. It's Revelation 21 and 22. It's the vision that John speaks about in Revelation of everybody being together. And that is what communion is. That is what church is. That's what the church is called to do. We're called to be together and give it all to God. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning again. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for getting our head up off the pillow this morning and getting us to church. We pray for those that weren't able to make it this morning. Pray for those that don't know you yet, Lord. Pray that you open eyes and ears, and that your Holy Spirit changes hearts, changes the hearts of the people, because at the end, we know that at the end, we will all commune together. We will all be sitting at a table together with your Son as the head of that table. And we want our friends and we want our family there, Lord. So we thank you for everything that you do for us. Father, we praise you. We give you all the praise, honor, glory in your name. Hear our words as we sing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God the Father and the provider of all things. Praise Christ the Son, our Savior. Praise the Holy Spirit who binds us to the Father and unifies the believers. Bless his church from the beginning. Bless his church today. And bless his church throughout the ages. Amen. God bless.